Can turn to Mark chapter 1. We are in a series of messages on the theme, the miracle of mercy. Today we're continuing that theme, and we're going to be focusing specifically this morning on your ministry of mercy. Your ministry of mercy. In Matthew 5:7, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." So you and I, having experienced God's mercy, are to be showing that mercy to others. And this is really a simple verse, but really impacting when you think about it, because it means that the more you and I show God's mercy to others, the more we will experience God's ongoing supply of mercy for ourselves. Anytime we start cutting off showing mercy to others, we are reducing the flow of God's mercy into our own lives. And every one of us need an ongoing flow of God's mercy into our lives regularly. Remember, mercy is more of an action than an emotion. You can show mercy whether or not you're feeling it. Mercy is love in action. Mercy is being compassionate. And to be compassionate is to enter into someone else's pain for the purpose of helping relieve some of that pain. Let me say that again. Compassion is when we are willing to reach into someone else's pain for the purpose of helping to whatever degree we can to alleviate some of their pain. Mercy is not simply having pity. We can feel bad for someone else's pain, but do absolutely nothing to help alleviate that pain. So mercy and compassion are not just, I feel bad that somebody else is hurting, but it's not afraid to roll up our sleeves and to get our hands dirty and doing whatever we can to make a difference. And if you stop and think about it, is that not what Jesus did for us? Think of it. Jesus left the comforts of heaven and came to earth to, and in the process of doing it, he had to get his hands dirty to enter into our pain. And he didn't just sit up there in heaven and say, wow, those are some sorry sinners. I really feel bad for them. He said, no, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to live among them. I am going to make a difference. So it's what Jesus did for each one of us. Now, what does being merciful to others look like? We're going to take another glimpse today at what it looks like to show mercy to others by looking at a story in the Bible from Mark 1 where Jesus heals a leper. Let's begin at verse 40 of Mark 1. I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, "Now a leper came to him," the him being Jesus, "imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction." We're going to unpack this passage of scripture, and I'm going to do it by dividing it into what I'm going to call six snapshots. And here is our first snapshot. I'm going to call it Life's Lepers. Back to verse 40, it says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" So this leper approaches Jesus. He is literally begging him to make him whole. He bows down, implying his humility. And leprosy was a terrible disease. It still is. In developing nations, leprosy isn't much of a problem now, but leprosy is still a problem in certain third world countries. In Jesus' day, it was fairly common. It was incurable, and it was contagious. And so lepers were sort of like walking dead men. And here's a picture. I could have gotten way more graphic than that, but I didn't want to get too graphic. But leprosy eats away at the flesh and even at the nervous system. Very, very painful. And so this guy comes to Jesus, and he wants to be made whole. Now, in Old Testament times, lepers, because it was contagious, because there was no cure, they were not allowed to get very close to people. And imagine what this would be like. When a leper went into an area, if there was any people nearby, they had to cry out, and you can see it at the end of this verse, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, Leviticus 13, 45. Can you imagine, you know, like whatever you're struggling with, can you imagine if every time you came near people, you had to yell out that sin? Here's what I struggle with. I'm a bad person. You better stay away from me. You might get what I have. I mean, imagine what it would be like at wherever you got anywhere near people that you had to say, hey, look it, there's something wrong with me. I'm unclean. I'm bad. You don't want to get close to me. I mean, what a terrible thing that would have been. But notice the next verse, toward the end of the verse, it says, he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. He shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Can you imagine how horrible it would have been to have been a leper? You have to live alone, at best with other lepers. You could not associate with normally healthy people. You had to live outside the camp. You could not be a part of a life-giving community of people. In fact, it was often assumed if you were a leper, God must be punishing you for some past sin in your life. And because lepers were not allowed to be around people, they couldn't participate in any corporate kind of worship. And so some lepers assumed, well, my worship isn't acceptable to God. There's just too much wrong with me. And I want you to try to imagine, what would that have felt like to live with that kind of rejection, humiliation, isolation, and loneliness? Well, today we may not have a problem with people that actually have leprosy that we come in contact with, but I want to suggest to you today that we have our own versions of lepers in our own communities. We have many people today whose lives are so broken that they are being eaten up on the inside with life's problems. There are many people today, like the lepers in Jesus' day, who feel like they are outcasts of society. Many people today feel like because of whoever they are or whatever they've been going through, many today feel like they are rejected, that they are humiliated, that they are isolated from being able to be a part of a community of life-giving believers. And many today, even though they may be surrounded by others, feel like they are living in isolation. And I want to ask you the question today, who are today's lepers? Who are the lepers in our culture? And reality is, each of us might answer that question a little differently, because who is a leper for you may not be a leper for someone else here, and who is a leper for someone else here may not be a leper for you. Maybe the way to answer that question is simply by asking you this question: who are the kinds of people that you try to avoid? Those are the people that you have identified as today's lepers. Maybe it's the homeless people. Maybe it's the people begging on the street corner. Maybe they're a leper in your view. Maybe it's somebody who is struggling with some kind of sexual sin, and maybe to you they're a leper. Maybe it's somebody who has a different skin color than you, or speaks a different language than you. Maybe it's somebody who has different religious beliefs than you. Maybe somebody who has different political views than you. Maybe somebody who has a way different personality than you do. So sometimes these are some of the lepers in our culture today. And I would be so direct as to say, as long as we are looking at the Love Somalia theme, I would say that in the St. Cloud community, many people view the Somalians in our community as today's lepers. I wonder who is a leper to you and I. Let's go to the second snapshot. I'm going to call this, if you are willing. Back to verse 40, second part of the verse, he says this to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. I want you to notice the leper didn't have any problems believing Jesus could make him clean. And let me just kind of back up and give some perspective here. Notice the word clean. It's interesting, the leper didn't say, if you are willing, you can heal me, although that was true also. But he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Why did he use that term clean? And many of you are aware that under the Old Testament laws, there were certain things that would make you, quote unquote, unclean. And if you were unclean, you could not participate in worship without first becoming clean, which typically involves some kind of ceremonial exercise. And the whole point was God was wanting to get a message across that he is holy, and that to approach him, we have to be holy. And he was looking for a people who would be willing to live differently than those around them. But one of the things that's very important that I point out to you today is that clean, or unclean, I should say, unclean and sinful were not synonymous. There were certain sins that, yes, would cause you to be unclean, but there were a number of things that would make you unclean that were not sinful. I mean, think about it. Being a leper wasn't sinful. You didn't do anything to become a leper in terms of sin. And so it wasn't sin that made them unclean. Nevertheless, they were considered unclean. If you even accidentally touched a dead body or blood, you were unclean. But there's nothing sinful about coming in contact with a dead body or blood. And we could give many examples. So my whole point is that just because people were unclean does not mean they were bad or that they had sinned in some terrible way. And so the leper not only wanted healing, but he wanted to be considered clean, that he was fit to be able to enter worship. And so he says, if you're willing. Now, as you know, Jesus healed a lot of people. And so the leper knew that. He probably heard about it. Maybe from a distance he had seen some of the healings that had taken place. Maybe he knew somebody that Jesus healed. But he had no problem believing that Jesus would heal him, that could heal him. His problem was, would he want to? I mean, if he had the attitude, well, you know, I'm being judged for being a bad person, so why would God then want to heal me? He could have thought, well, if my worship isn't acceptable to God, why would he want to heal me? If he had taken on that image of, well, nobody, I'm a nobody, I'm an outcast, certainly he wouldn't want to take time to have to, you know, minister to me. We don't know exactly his mindset, but he did believe that if Jesus wanted to, Jesus could heal him. And we have a lot of people like that in our culture today. Now, I know we have a lot of people who claim that they are atheists, that they don't even believe there is a God that could help them. Others are not maybe quite that far and the opposite extreme in terms of faith. Some call themselves agnostics, which would be, well, I believe there might be a God out there, but he's certainly not interested in my situation or helping me. And reality is often a self-professing atheist or agnostic, often in their heart of hearts, still believes many times that there really is a God out there. And it's amazing how many atheists or agnostics have called out to God in time of need, maybe figuring, what do I got to lose? But at any rate, we do have a lot of people in our culture, whether they'll admit it or not, who deep down do believe there is a God out there. And if he really wanted to, he could help my situation. He has that ability. But like the leper in Jesus' day, many today are like, but I don't know if he wants to. I don't know, I've really messed up in many areas of my life. I'm not living like I should. I've made so many mistakes. I don't know that he would possibly want to help my situation out, even though I believe he could if he wanted to. And there are many today in our culture who are reluctant to even go to a church worship service because they're afraid, or they're reluctant because they feel like, well, maybe my uncleanness will cause rejection in a church. Maybe with what I've struggled with what I've done, with who I am, maybe I will just get judged and rejected. And I've already felt plenty of that, and I don't know that I want to experience that anymore. There's a church in England. It's a small historic church. It's over 1,000 years old. It's still in existence today. And on the side of the building, at about ground level, there's this little interesting window. It's only about 6 inches wide, and it's about 3 foot tall. And when you consider the dimensions of that window and its location, you might wonder, well, why would a church put such a narrow window in a building? Well, in that day, leprosy was a problem. And so while the church was being built, they certainly did not want lepers to come in because, you know, the healthy people might get leprosy. And so they actually built what has been called the leper's squint. The leper's squint. They built this window so that lepers, even though they weren't allowed to come in and participate in worship or community, the lepers could come and they could peek through the leper's squint and watch what was going on inside the building. Imagine that. They could long for community, but never be allowed to actually experience it. They could look at it from the outside, only wondering what it would be like if they could go inside and be one of the people. As I look around this structure, I do not see any literal leper's squints today. But I wonder, are there some figurative leper's squints in the facility? Are there some leper's squints in our own attitudes? Think about it. Are there certain kinds of people that if they came in today, the vibes you would get off would be, you can look through the windows, but you can't be one of us. You can watch from a distance, but you can't get close. If you get close, we might get contaminated. So you can watch from a distance, but no, you can't come and be one of us. Do we ever give that message off to certain modern day lepers? So there may not be a leper's squint in the building, but is there one in our attitudes and in how we treat other people? Let's go to scene 3, touching lepers. Verse 41, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Notice a few things. First of all, notice the word compassion. Jesus sees the leper and he's moved with compassion. If you and I are true followers of Jesus, won't we too, at some level, be moved with compassion when we encounter today's lepers? What did that compassion cause him to do? It says he stretched out his hand and touched him. He did what was unthinkable in that day. I can just imagine as Jesus' hand is going up, people are like, no, he's not going to do that. Doesn't he know? And I can just imagine as soon as he touched the leper, people just like letting out this gasp and maybe taking a step back and, you know, just that kind of a response. But I want you to think about something for a moment. When do you suppose the last time this man had ever been touched? Especially, when was the last time anybody ever touched this leper with any kind of affection? In fact, when do you suppose was the last time anybody even fix their eyes on him with a kind gaze. When was the last time anyone ever said a kind word to this man? And now here he was being touched by Jesus. I want you to notice Jesus didn't just feel pity for him. Jesus didn't just say, that is just so sad that you have leprosy. Notice Jesus didn't just say, God bless you, I'll be praying for you. I find it interesting that Jesus touched him before he said anything. And what did he tell him? He said, I am willing. I don't know if there's a play on words here or not, but many of you realize in the Old Testament, often one of the ways God identified himself is I am the great I am. And the I am really meant, I'm just not the God who was that you heard about way back, and I'm just not the God who one day will do something cool. But as the I am, he was basically saying, I am the God of the present. I am whoever you need me to be today, yesterday, tomorrow. And I find it interesting that here Jesus, maybe a play on words, I don't know. His first two words were, I am. What was he in saying that I am the same one in the Old Testament who said I am? But at in either rate, whether that's intentional or not, he says, I am willing. I am willing. I'm not just able, I am willing. You know, today it's far easier to say something to a leper than touch a leper. It's a lot easier just to say to somebody, God bless you, praise the Lord, I'll be praying for you. That's way easier than actually rolling up our sleeves and entering into someone else's pain and risking touching lepers. Sufficient compassion trumps fear. I don't think Jesus was struggling with, oh, I just feel a compassion, but oh, I'm afraid I might get leprosy. I don't think that thought even crossed his mind. And when we have sufficient compassion, it will trump any fears that we might have today. Because compassion isn't afraid to touch lepers. Compassion takes risks. You see, love is more powerful than any kind of leprosy. I wonder today, are you and I moved at all with the same kind of compassion for today's lepers as Jesus was for this leper? Are you and I, like Jesus, reaching out and touching today's lepers? You know, we can preach about Jesus to people, and we should, but generally we will be more effective at bringing healing to people's lives if we show them Jesus before we tell them Jesus. If we not just are willing to say something nice, but even before that, touch people where they hurt, then our words will be far more effective. Kay Warren wrote this. She said, we are most like Christ when we choose to offer the gift of our presence and choose to absorb within ourselves the suffering of the least, the last, and the lost. Are you looking for Jesus? That's where you'll find him. Jesus said, I am willing. He expressed his willingness to heal lepers. And I believe Jesus, the great I am, is still saying, I am willing. I am still willing to touch lepers. But you know what I think he's also saying today? He's saying, I want to touch them through you. I want to touch them through your heart. I want to touch them through your hands. Perhaps the question today is not the question, is Jesus still willing to touch lepers? Perhaps the question is, are we willing? Are we willing to touch lepers? Are we willing to be his hands extended? Snapshot number 4, healing lepers, verse 42. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. You know, I don't know if you really thought about this, but from a law standpoint, there was only two possible outcomes in this situation. either the leper gets cleansed or Jesus becomes unclean. I mean, think about it. If you touched a leper purposefully or accidentally, you became unclean. So if Jesus touched the leper and the leper remained a leper, now we have Jesus being unclean. But of course, we know that didn't happen. We know that the leper was healed, and therefore Jesus was no longer laying hands on a leper, but a man who was made clean. I want you to think about how much one touch accomplished in that man's life. Think about what it did for him emotionally, that somebody would touch him. But think about it. Never again would he have to, when approaching a group of people, cry out, unclean, unclean. Never again would he have to call out those words. Never again would he have to be satisfied with living alone or living outside the camp. No longer would he have to live in isolation. No longer would he have to go through life peeping through leper's squints, longing for something that he was disqualified for. Never again would he have to do that, but now he could come in and be a part of community. I think often today our problem is we have more confidence in how contagious leprosy is than we do in Jesus' power to heal. You see, Jesus wasn't thinking, oh no, this leprosy might get on me. Jesus was thinking, I'm going to get all over him. What I have is contagious. What I have is going to be much more powerful than leprosy. And so you and I don't need to be afraid of getting too close to today's lepers and worrying about what they have is going to get on me. Instead, our mindset should be have what I have is going to get on them. The Jesus in me is more powerful than any strain of modern day leprosy. Compassion and faith risks touching today's lepers. And I wonder, just like you and I can't imagine fully what that one touch did to that man, neither can you and I know exactly what one touch today might do for a modern day leper. It may change their life forever. It may change their eternal destination. Their life may impact many if just somebody would touch them with the love of Jesus. Let's look at our last snapshot. I'm calling this show and tell. Verse 43, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, say nothing to anyone. Did you ever notice whenever Jesus told somebody that, they never listened? Whatever you do, do not, like, right. I mean, if you were a leper and you were just healed, like, you're going to, oh, I'll keep it to myself, no problem, you know. No, that never really worked. But Jesus said, go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, under the old covenant, if somebody was unclean, they didn't send them to a doctor to decide whether they were clean or not. In that day, the priest did that. The priest didn't heal them. The priest simply took them through whatever ceremonies were needed, and then they were skilled enough in the medical to be able to at least discern whether, yeah, they're clean or no, they're not clean. And so they would have to go to the priest. The priest would do his thing, and then, yes, you're clean or no, you're not. And then they would know whether they were clean or unclean. And so Jesus sends this guy to a priest, and the next verse says, and won't read it all, we'll come back to it, but however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the matter. And so he again, didn't do what Jesus said. But let's go back to this priest thing, and why was that so important, and why was Jesus sending him back? Let's go to Leviticus 14, 1 and 2. And here it's talking about the law of the leper. So the leper would go to the priest. I'll just kind of explain some of this rather than read it all. So here's what the priest would do. The priest would kill a lamb and take the blood. And catch this. He would put some of the blood for the leper on the tip of his right earlobe, on the tip of his right thumb, and on the right big toe. So the priest would do all that, and then they could be cleansed. Now, why is that significant? Well, let's back up for a moment, a few chapters to Leviticus 8, and I want to point something interesting out. It says, verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him. Now, Aaron and his sons were the priests, okay? So what we're about to read is basically the process they went through to ordain somebody to the priesthood. And I want you to catch what happened. It says, verse 23, Moses slaughtered the ram and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Moses also brought Aaron's son forward and put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Now, why am I saying all of that? Here's what I want you to catch. The same blood sacrifice that ordained a priest into the priesthood cleansed the leper. Think of it this way. Under the new covenant, Jesus is that Lamb of God. He became the one-time blood sacrifice for all of us. And here's basically the deal. Whether you consider yourself a leper or a really good person like a priest, it really doesn't matter. It's the same blood of Jesus that is needed. In other words, no leper is so unclean, no sinner is so bad that the blood of Jesus is not sufficient. But let me tell you also, there is nobody so good, so righteous, so holy, they are beyond needing that exact same sacrifice. So whether you consider yourself a leper or a priest or somewhere in between, it does not matter. It is the same sacrifice and it is sufficient for your cleansing. You might say, well, why the right ear, right thumb, right big toe? Here's my take on it. It's to sanctify our hearing, our doing, and our going. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. What you and I hear impacts how we think, and how we think impacts how we live. And I believe what it's saying is, I want to sanctify your hearing. I want to give you a renewed mind. I want to give you the mind of Christ. Why the right thumb? That's our doing. God is saying, I want to sanctify your doing. I want you not only to hear right, I want you to do right. And then the sanctifying of the big toe, that's our walk. That's where we go. He is like, I want to sanctify your walk. I want to sanctify your going, your hearing, your doing, your going. It's all covered by the blood of Jesus. I guess there's one last one. Bonus, okay, I won't charge you any more for this. The cost of touching lepers. Verse 45, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the matter. I want you to notice something interesting, and that is the leper goes from being an outcast to being an evangelist. Think about that. He goes from being an outcast, I can't go where people are, to that's what I do. I go to where people are and I tell them my story. Imagine going from an outcast to an evangelist. But maybe something you have never thought about, this cost Jesus in that he went from being a celebrity to being an outcast. Today, we say, rock star. Jesus, because he touched a leper, went from being a rock star to being an outcast. Let me read it to you. So that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. Doesn't that sound familiar from earlier? Who was outside in deserted places? The leper. Now the leper's in going into the cities as an evangelist, and now Jesus is not any longer allowed into the cities. Instead, he is outside in deserted places, those places that before lepers frequented. Now, different, it does say, they came to him from every direction. So people still sought him out, but they couldn't seek him out in the city. Now they had to seek him out in those deserted places. If we go back earlier in Mark 1, we see the celebrity status of Jesus prior to this. Verse 28, and immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Verse 38, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Verse 39, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout Galilee and casting out demons. Celebrity, rock star, everybody knew who he was. They wanted to gather around him. He heals a leper, and now he can no longer openly enter the city, but is outside in deserted places. I share that because there's a price to pay if you're going to touch lepers. And the price you pay might be other people reject you because they may be afraid you're going to get something icky on you that might get on them. Other people might not want you associating with lepers. But let me tell you, there's a greater price to pay for not touching lepers, such as they will not get cleansed. They will not be made whole if somebody doesn't touch them. So are you willing to pay that price? Are you willing to risk touching today's lepers? So in closing, Jesus is still saying to lepers today, I am willing. But what if he wants to do it through you? What if he wants to do it through me? Will we take on his compassion? Will we be, the Bible says we are the body of Christ. We're his hands. We're his heart. Will we let ourselves be his hands to touching today's lepers? And I close by just reminding you, that's part of why in our small groups, we wanted you, if possible, to, as a group, find a way to serve. And it's still not too late. Even if your group is going to be over, maybe this week, if you're in one of the small groups, talk about it. Hey, can some of us go do the Love Somalia thing? Can some of us go serve at the Family Optimist Fun Day? Maybe we could do that together as a group. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. What would happen at Jubilee in us and through us if we all lived like this wherever we are? Because every one of us are encountering today's lepers in our context. I'm going to pray, and as I do, I'm going to ask the prayer teams who are serving today to come and be available. And as always, after the closing prayer, you're welcome to go. But if you want prayer for anything, we will have teams up here. They would be happy to pray with you, pray for you. And if there's anybody today who feels like, well, I don't know where I stand with God, and you want to make a commitment to Christ or find out more about that, you could also come, and the prayer teams would be so happy to share that with you. So let's pray, and prayer teams, come. Father, we thank you that we all were born lepers. We all had sin that contaminated us. We thank you that Jesus was willing to come and to touch us with his life, to cleanse us with his blood, and how amazing that we now can be clean, whole, because of the touch of Jesus, because of that shed blood that sanctifies us and cleanses us. Lord, you said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. God, may we never forget how, no matter who we are, no matter how long we've known you, may we never forget we still all need your mercy desperately every day, throughout the day. So, Lord, may we, in light of that, be merciful. May we show mercy wherever we go. And, Lord, I pray that this word today will sink deep within our hearts. And, Lord, that as we go throughout our week, and in the coming days and weeks, Lord, that we will be your hands extended, that we will be your heart extended. Lord, that as we see the modern day lepers around us, that like Jesus, our heart would be moved with compassion. Lord, may our heart not be moved with judgment. Lord, may we not put up the leper squint, saying, no, you can't come, you don't belong, you can't get close. But instead, may we reach out and touch the lepers of our culture. Lord, may we be tools or channels through which your mercy can flow and to touch people. And Lord, we thank you that the Jesus in us is far greater than any uncleanness in our culture. And so, Lord, I pray that you will change whatever needs to be changed in us, that we will be people of mercy and people who bring healing to hurting lives. And so, Lord, just touch our hearts today. Use us. And I thank you for a people willing to be used by you. And I thank you, God, that every one of us can make a difference in the lives of today's lepers. And Lord, I pray Jubilee will be a place where there are no leper squints to look through, but rather we would be a people saying, come on in. Come on in, enjoy community, enjoy fellowship, enjoy relationship. You are welcome. Come in and let's see what God will do in your life. So Lord, help us to be that kind of a people. And I just speak a blessing over every household here represented today. Fill our homes with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And use us in our neighborhoods, among our families, our schools, our workplaces, our marketplace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day and week.